Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
You're tuned in to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. We're glad you're with us today. Now let's join Pastor Todd as we allow God's Word to build our faith.
Well, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us again. Each week I so look forward to sharing the Word of God with you because the Word is a light, the Word is the truth. Jesus often spoke that we should hear the Word, that we should learn from the Word. The Word is vitally important for us. Jesus said that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. My prayer for you this morning is that you would experience the truth of God's Word and that it would equip you, that it would encourage you, that it would actually energize you with His Spirit and His strength. I'm reminded again and again of the scriptures that tell us that we experience the Word that's powerful and it's living and it's active. And so each day when I take in the Word, I sense and know that it's something that activates in my life because it's alive. You know, we are living in a world right now where people are understanding how vitally important it is to take in nutritious food. And how at times because of processed food, what's happened, and the result is greater levels of sickness in people's bodies because of the processed food that people are ingesting. This morning, the spiritual truth, the spiritual Word, is it's pure and it's living. And what happens when you take in the Word of God that's pure and living, what happens is it creates strength in you spiritually. It creates health in you spiritually. And so this morning we're going to look into Ephesians chapter 4. And there's some powerful truths there that when we take in the Word, then our response. You know, I've often said this, my response is my responsibility. I received that from a lady that we used to say that to me. She used to say, my response is my responsibility. And what Paul was telling this church at Ephesus is now because they've been introduced to this life-giving truth, that their responsibility is to become life-giving. When you take in the life-giving truth, then you become part of a life giver, that you've been given that responsibility. And Paul had a great affection for this church at Ephesus. He spent a considerable amount of time, many people say up to 3 years, that he spent teaching. And now he writes this letter, and he writes it from a Roman prison, and he gives this instruction. It's like his final letter. His final letter of instruction to this church that he so cared for, that he so longed for, that he wanted them to model. In the first part of Ephesians, it talks about the doctrine. See, doctrine is like a foundation. Foundation is something that you can build on because you trust it. And so he talks about doctrine and how important doctrine is. And how doctrine is certainly not flashy and it's not something that is visible at times, but it is something that is so necessary to our lives. The doctrine that God loves us and that He sent His Son, Jesus, to be the payment for our sin. And now He's promised us His Holy Spirit who will dwell in us and work through us. And how we have become agents of truth and light and life because of the Spirit of Jesus that now dwells in us. Those are all doctrines that Paul goes in this first part of Ephesians. But now in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he talks about how we're to walk this out. How we're to live this out. How the evidence should be something that is very clear in our lives. Something that we can act on. Something that we can respond to. And so when we've been given so much, To whom much is given, much is required. And so he's telling this church at Ephesus that you've been given so much. And from that, now there's a responsibility that you have to step into that. There should be an expectation. If you follow Cornerstone Church, you know that every summer for 3 weeks in July, we spend our time pouring into kids' lives. One of the foundations of this ministry has been to train up children in that the way that they shall go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. One of the avenues that we've used consistently now, this is our 28th year of doing youth camps, because we see the absolute necessity of and how God uses youth camps to interact with kids, how he meets them at youth camps. This last week, we were at our middle school camp, and we had so many students there that and it was just an incredible week where those kids experienced the absolute manifest presence of Christ, where they sensed the freedom that Christ was just pouring into their lives. And it was just a joy to be a part. And we were sitting around the fire on Wednesday night there. And what a time that was. And so I was sitting there with some of my young adults that this ministry has been so absolutely blessed to be a part of their lives, and we've trained them up from children, and now to see them. And one of the young men that spoke at our youth camp, this was his 8th year. He came as a middle school camper, and when he shared with those students how his life was gripped with such anxiety and fear, how he would actually have to be at times hospitalized from it, but how at that youth camp 8 years ago, that Christ released him from that spirit of fear and broke that off his life. And now to see this young man who will graduate from college in a year and to see his life and how it's manifest just the freedom of Christ in his life. And I'm going to be a part of his wedding here next month, and to see him and the woman that God has given him as a helpmate, and to see their lives. I did a Prepare and Enrich with them. It's a thing that we do with couples before they get married. And it's just an analysis that goes over their relationship. And I said, I've probably done 100 couples. And I told them this, that out of all of those, because some of that is the Scopes personality test, and it identifies stress in a person's life. It identifies things that can cause anxiety. And I said, out of 100 people, this young man had the lowest level that I've ever witnessed. And he said, Christ did that for me. Remember, he set me free from that at camp. And now he walks in the clarity of mind. And so we were talking around that fire there, and he started to talk to me, and he started to tell me about the young people and their names, and he brought name after name after name up, what we've entrusted them with. And now some of them, one young lady I was thinking about this morning, now she's a doctor on the East Coast and consistently was a part of these youth camps all through her young life. You see, what we've been given is we've entrusted them with the word that gives life. The word gives life. It calls people out of captivity, out of darkness. It gives light. And so what Paul is talking to us about is when we've been given so much, and that's what we want to do with these students, with these children, is we entrust them with the truth. And then we ask them to walk that truth out, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when they begin to do that, what a wonderful thing that is to witness. And so what Paul is saying to this church at Ephesus is he's saying, I want you to do this out of love. Be imitators. Give no place to the enemy. And so one of the places that he talks about is in our words, and how our words have such power and such authority. It tells us that in the power of the tongue, that it has the potential to either give life or enact death. And Paul tells us in the first part of chapter 4, he says, I'm calling you to speak the truth in love. What a novel concept that is. I want you to speak this truth, but I want you to speak it surrounded by not selfishness, not hatred, not anger, but I want you to speak this truth in love. When Jesus spoke the truth to us, it was because he was a demonstrator of the love of God, and he said, I do not want you to walk in the deception that brings death. I want you to walk in the truth that can enact life. And so when we respond by the Spirit of Christ, Paul is telling us that how we speak matters. And in the last part of chapter 4, he says this to us, starting in verse 25. Therefore, putting away all falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing an honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, that fits the occasion, that there would be a grace for those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God, he goes on in chapter 5. As beloved children, walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant, as an offering and a sacrifice, a fragrant offering. Think of what Paul is illustrating here in this letter. Think of how this word wants to speak to us. He says, put away all these things. And the first thing he says is he says how at times we've been given to speak lies and deception. We know where those things come from. Jesus said the enemy is the father of lies, that he is the deceiver, that when he speaks forth lies because that's out of his own nature. And so what Paul is telling us as followers of Christ, that there can be no room for lies and deception to be a part of our life. Remember in verse 15, he says, speak the truth in love. Here he says, let each of you speak this truth to his neighbors, for we are members of one another. Earlier in chapter 4, that's all Paul talks about. He says that we are members of this body. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he talks about, to the Corinthians, he talks about how that we are members of this body. And he illustrates it with how we have hands and feet and how we have different positions and how we're called but into one body for the strengthening of this body. And so here he says this, put away. Deception equals distrust. Where truth equals trust, deception causes distrust. Think of that easily. Maybe that would be something that you would just grasp hold of, and it would be an anchor for your life when you're tempted to say something that is wrong. In every relationship, the foundation has to be truth. It's our relationship with Jesus. He said this again and again, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Because he told us the truth, we can trust what he's told us. Think of this in a marriage relationship. If there's a place of dishonesty, there's a place of distrust. How can you trust somebody that is not truthful, that is not honest? That has to be the core foundation of our lives. That has to be the core foundation of a body of Christ, of a church. We see many churches that have begun to speak things that are not accurate. They don't go back to the word because the truth is what's most important. In a world of deception, we must go back to the word and we must honor the truth. I was talking with some children here at our first week of camp, and I was talking to them about how important it is to tell the truth. From a child, they begin to understand this. It doesn't take where we start saying, oh, I have to go to school to learn this. No, truth is something that people understand from the very youngest of age, that you have to tell the truth. Many, many years ago, I had a cousin that was a year older than me, and he has since passed away. But he had a propensity of lying. My grandmother and I were out. I was about 5 or 6 years old. I lived in the same yard with my grandmother. We had a farm. We lived there on her farm. I lived in the trailer house. She lived in the farmhouse, my grandfather and her, and I would help her. And she had a very large garden, and so we were out working in the garden one afternoon. And my cousin went into the house, said he had to go get a drink of water or go to the bathroom or something. But all of a sudden, we heard fire engines. We heard sirens blaring, and they began to get closer and closer. Now, where I lived, way, way out in the country, 10 miles from town, sirens were not something that was a common occurrence. It didn't happen daily. And so I was like, my attention was drawn to it. And then they pulled into our yard, and I was definitely, definitely paying attention then. There was no smoke. There was no nothing. My cousin went in and dialed on the party number. Some of you don't understand what that is. Where you lived out in the country, there was a party line, and he had dialed in and told the fire department that we had a fire out there. I knew immediately right then the consequences of lying. Didn't take me long to figure that out. There's such a place that will destroy when you lie, because it destroys all trust. And so that's why Paul says we need to speak the truth with one another, because we're members of one another. Think of what a devastating thing it is when you lie. In verse 26, he says, do not be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. How does anger often manifest itself? Through our words. So what is he saying is that you can show your disapproval with something or someone without becoming so hurtful with your words. You don't have to use your words to destroy people. It says you can be angry, but you don't have to step into sin. Now, anger comes from an unmet expectation. And every one of us will encounter things that we had an expectation. Now, whether it's a right or a wrong expectation, we have to decide that. But when you have a right expectation of someone, you don't have to become volatile. Then that expectation has not been met. Doesn't give you the right to ream somebody out with your words, to rip somebody apart with your words. I can tell you in my time as a pastor that I deal with people that words that have been spoken to them have been like wounds that they have encountered that have never fully healed. And it's because of one person becoming angry to the point that they say all kinds of evil things. Later on, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed. One of the ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit is when we become angry and our words become so absolutely hurtful, where they begin to rip and to tear at people. It says, we called not to respond that way. It says, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice be put away from you. Most of those words that he uses here have to do with your tongue. And so he's telling us, if you read the letter of James, the book of James, you will also understand what James is telling us about the damage that the tongue can do. Think of this. How does bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, how does it affect other people? Well, this is what I think. And so we think that because we think something, we should be able to say it. And we live in a world right now where people are biting and devouring one another with their words. And what Paul's saying is that we should not question that in the world. Apart from Christ, we should almost understand that that's part of the nature of man. But when you come to faith in Christ, when you come and you say, I serve Christ, his spirit lives inside of me, well, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind. That should not be something that we would entertain. That we have the right to clamor and to become so vindictive of others. We're slandering one another and the damage that's been done. Now, I know from a position where God's called me to lead that oftentimes I am the target of people's slander. And I don't even, it's not a question, because I make some decisions and based on what I sense God's calling us to do. And so I shouldn't even question the world slandering me. But when other Christians who come out and say things that are so inaccurate and so wrong, is that an issue with their heart? The gospel is being preached. People are being discipled. People are being raised up for ministry. The good news is, like I said, proclaimed. There should be no place of slander where we say things and we gossip and backbite. Paul says we should mark those that do that, because what they're doing is they're biting and devouring one another. You think of this relationship with a family or members of the body. How if you bite on your own body, think of the damage and the pain that it causes. And Paul's saying, don't have any part of this. Speak the word to one another. Encourage one another. Build up one another. And at times, if you have to address expectations that have not been met, don't do it in such a way that causes damage. And we have to be very careful. We have to be so very careful. This last week, I had to travel. I was gone for a day from our camp. And I was on my way back. I was down in Baldwin, Wisconsin, and was on my way back. And got a call from one of the our young men that's part of the leadership at our middle school camp. And he said, if you're coming through Hayward, you might have to stop and pick up a prop for the boat. And we have a boat that we pull kids on tubes and just have an incredible, lot of fun with that. In our free time in the afternoon. And Josh, our youth pastor, was turning in an area that we don't usually go in with the boat, and the prop hit a rock, and it bent the rock thing over, and the prop was a stainless steel prop, which if you know anything about props, they're pretty expensive. And so at first I was like, oh man. And I knew we couldn't do it. I couldn't ride the boat, drive the boat anymore. And I just wanted to make sure that the lower unit wasn't destroyed. But I was in the middle of between Hayward and Clam Lake, and you don't get service very often, very clear there on your cell phone. And so I said, oh, all right, I'm already past Hayward. I'm not on my way. I'll just be there in 10 minutes. And then I said to Josh, man, that was a $300 prop. And then the phone went dead. And so I didn't get service. I went down to the lake where they all were. And Josh said, well, I thought you hung the phone up on me. And I said, oh, Josh, I would never do that. Maybe I'm disappointed that we have a $300 expense now for a prop, but I'm not going to use my words. I'm not going to do something that is that damaging over something that's so small. Later on, he came up to me and talked with me at that night. And I said, Josh, that doesn't mean anything to me. Oh, sure. Yeah, we made a mistake. Okay, it's a nothing. We don't have to major in the minor things. He's saying, don't do these things because the damage that it does. It says we're to be kind to one another and tenderhearted and forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love. So we're to speak the truth in love, and then we're to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering. May our lives be that. May we not use our words to rip and tear on people. And as followers of Christ, we have no excuse to just use those words in ways that will hurt others. We are called to bless and encourage. We're not called to curse. We know where that comes from. It's from darkness. It's from hell. We are called to be those that bless one another and encourage one another and use our words to exhort one another. I believe that that's one of the giftings that God has given to me, is that I step into that as an encourager for people. That means I want to give courage to people. When you encourage others, you give them more courage than they had before. And this morning, my prayer for you is that you would be encouraged by the Word of God, that the Word that's a light would expose any area where there's been falsehoods, deception in your life, that you would repent for those, that you would be the imitator of Christ, and that that love that you've experienced from Christ would flow through you to others. And when we operate like that, what an incredible thing that is. Because then we become agents of his love, his truth. And what that causes is light and freedom to radiate from our lives. Don't we want to step into that today? That light and freedom would be the thing that reflects from us. That people would know us. That we speak the truth in love, and that we walk in love. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for people right now that your Holy Spirit is drawing. May we not grieve you in any way. May you cleanse our lives and purify our lives. May you purify our words and our tongues, that we would be those that speak out words of truth, that we would walk in this love and we would speak it out. And we thank you for this. I thank you that you're bringing forgiveness to people right now. God, that you would forgive them and you would release them. Let all bitterness and clamor go right now. We declare freedom for people. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Thank you that you're calling us to love one another. Thank you that we can speak that truth in love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We pray for you each week that God would give you his strength, that you would step into it this week.
You've been listening to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. Our service times are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Please visit our website at cornerstoneup.com or call us at 906-663-4700. Cornerstone Church, loving God, loving people, serving the world.
A girl like her, she just can't see what the fuss is all about. And she don't know she's beautiful. She don't know she's beautiful.
No, she's not that kind.
She don't know she's beautiful. Though time and time I've told her so. That's when she thinks she looks her worst. It's times like this, she don't know why I can't take my eyes off her. 'Cause she don't know she's beautiful.
Never crossed my mind.
She don't know she's beautiful.
No, she's not that kind.
She don't know she's beautiful. Though time and time I've told her, she don't know she's beautiful.
Like the Holy Ghost running through you when I Looking back now, well, it makes me laugh. We were growing our hair, we were cutting class. Knew it all already, there was nothing to learn. We were striking matches just to watch them burn. Listen to our music just a little too loud. We were hanging in there with the outcast crowd. Heading to the rapids with some discount beer. It was a long train trestle, but we had no fear. Man, I don't know where the time goes, but it sure goes fast. Just like that, we were wannabe rebels that didn't have a clue. And our rock and roll t-shirts and our typically bad attitude had no excuses for the things that we've done. We were brave, we were crazy, we were mostly young. Young. Talked a good game when we were out with the guys, but in the back seat we were awkward and shy. Girls were a mystery that we couldn't explain, and I guess there are some things that are never gonna change. Man, I don't know where the time goes, but it sure goes fast. Just like that, we were wannabe rebels that didn't have a clue. And our rock and roll t-shirts and our typically bad attitude had no excuses for the things that we've done. We were brave, we were crazy, we were mostly young. 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 Yeah, I'm wishing we were older. Young. Hey, I wish it wasn't over. Bad attitudes had no excuses for the things that we'd done. We were brave, we were crazy, we were mostly young. Young.
On the way back out of nowhere, answer This old highway's getting longer. It seems there ain't no end in sight. To sleep would be best, but I just can't afford to rest. I got a ride in Denver tomorrow night. I called the house, but no one answered. For the last 2 weeks, no one's been home. I guess she's through with me. To tell the truth, I just can't see what's kept the woman holding on this long. And the white line's getting longer, and the saddle's getting cold. I'm much too young to feed this damn old. All my cards are on the table with no ace left in the hole. And I'm much too young to feed this damn old. Competition's getting younger, tougher bronze. You know I can't recall a worn-out tape of Chris LeDoux. Lonely women and bad booze seem to be the only friends I've left at all. And the white line's getting longer, and the saddle's getting cold. I'm much too young. This damn old. All my cards are on the table with no ace left in the hole. And I'm much too young to feed this damn old. Lord, I'm much too young to feed this damn old.
Tuesday night, crowded bar. Some guy lights a cheap cigar. Bartender yells at him, so he walks out and you walk in. Right through that cloud of smoke, cat calls and dirty jokes. Scan the room a couple times, find a seat right next to mine. Lonely eyes, well it sure looks like you just might. For something, whoa. Look at me, and I think you'll see those lonely eyes. Don't have to be alone tonight. They analyze your glass of wine, roll away a pickup line. Now and then they check your phone. Catch mine and let them go. From the little bit I've seen, they're the perfect shade of green. Next time they come my way, heaven help me make them say, lonely eyes, well it sure looks like you just might be looking for something, for something.
Give me
just might be looking for something, for something.
Slam, and I couldn't tell, was it just the wind or was she mad again? Oh hell, she's getting in her car. I hollered, baby, is there something wrong? Thought I heard her say something sounded like I'm gone. But these days gone can mean so many things. Well, there's gone for good and there's good and gone, and there's gone with the long before. I wish you'd been just a little more clear. Let's go for the day and gone for the night and gone for the rest of your doggone life. Is it whiskey night or just a couple beers? I mean, what kind of gone are we talking about here? Well, it's getting dark out, she ain't back yet, ain't called home, turned off the phone. Oh man, this might not be good. I would have stopped her when she went to leave, but I didn't, cause I didn't really think what I'm thinking now. I'm still not sure what gone is all about. Cause there's gone for good and there's good and gone, and there's gone with the long before it. I wish she'd been just a little more clear. Let's go for the day and gone for the night and gone for the rest of your doggone life. Is it whiskey night or just a couple beers? I mean, what kind of gone are we talking about here? Is it the kind of gone where she's at her mom's, cooling down, she'll come around? Or the kind that says you had your chance, she ain't coming back? Well, there's gone for good and there's good and gone, and there's gone with the long before it. I wish you'd been just a little more clear. Well, there's gone for the day and gone for the night and gone for the rest of your doggone life. Is it a whiskey night or just a couple beers? I mean, what kind of gone are we talking about? What kind of gone are we talking about? Yeah, what kind of talking about here? What kind of gone?
This is where it ends. I've been down a few broken roads that I'm trying to mend, but this is where it ends, and I'm breaking down. You were lying when you said that you were trying to work things out, but now I'm broken down. Went to battle for you always, fought for you on your worst days. Then you told me that you don't love me no more. You're the last thing that I thought I'd lose. All I ever wanted was to be loved by you. I let you back in and I gave you a second chance. And like a jet plane on a clear blue sky, sun came shining down on all of your lies. I got too much pride to let that happen again. So this is where it ends. Had to bury all your memories. Couldn't see what everybody sees. A red flag said I should've walked out that door.
went to battle for you always, fought for you on your worst days. Then you told me that you don't love me no more. You're the last thing that I thought I'd lose. All I ever wanted was to be loved by you. I let you back in and I gave you a second chance. And like a jet plane on a clear blue sky, sun came shining down on all of your lies. I got too much pride to let that happen again. So this is where it showed me what true love should it be. I found myself the second I gave up on us. You're the last thing that I thought I'd lose. All I ever wanted was to be loved by you. I let you back in and I gave you a second chance. Like a jet plane on a clear blue sky, sun came shining down. I know that you're this is where it ends.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
This week on Viewpoints.
Some people want extra attention. Other customers want to be left alone. There's an innate sense that these lifers have where they can read somebody pretty quickly, even if they don't know them.
The job that requires so much more than what the title suggests. Then,
there's at least a dozen operating in Washington State in the period that I'm talking about. There were six in 1974.
What was it about the Pacific Northwest that brewed so many killers in a short span? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything.
Nothing is everything.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Think about the last time you were in a diner. Maybe it was someplace local, or perhaps a stop along the interstate. Or maybe you came upon a perfect piece of pie and cup of coffee in an all-night place on a trip to a new city. Some people are like Candace